As the psalmist wrote, let me hear what God the Lord will speak. So Lord, would you speak to us that we would hear your word and that it would bear fruit in our lives, all to your honor and glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated? And elementary age kids, if you would like to participate, you're welcome to head to the back if you haven't already for your special program. I was sitting in a small chapel on my college campus. I would sometimes go in there alone to pray. And I noticed hanging on the wall a very large hanging of the university seal on the side wall. And it had some Greek letters in the middle of it. And I was just beginning my study of Greek, the language that the New Testament was written in, and I didn't understand what it said. But as a brand new Greek student, I wanted to figure it out. And after seeing it a few times and simply being unable to figure out what these two very short Greek words were, I asked my Greek professor. And he hung his head and looked rather embarrassed, not because I didn't know the answer, but because of the answer he now had to give. Apparently, this was the original seal that was designed for my college, and he had personally worked to change it when he arrived after it had been in place for at least half a century. It was probably the only place on campus where the old seal was still hung. And it turns out that those two Greek words that I couldn't identify weren't actually Greek words at all. They were Greek letters, but not Greek words. Because someone had taken the English words in the old King James Version of the Bible from the Great Commission read today, go ye, and simply put the words go ye in Greek letters. Not Greek words, Greek letters. So the equivalent of G-O-Y-E in Greek letters, which of course means nothing in Greek. And so my professor explained that they wanted a part of the Great Commission, which was read today. They wanted a part of that on the seal, but someone who didn't know Greek simply wrote English words in Greek letters, and for over 50 years, no one seemed to notice. And so when my Greek professor joined the faculty, he felt obliged to make known the error, and now it actually on the seal has a real Greek word from the Great Commission, mathetousate, which means make disciples. Now, beyond the simple Greek language faux pas, my professor used that as an opportunity to point out something that I had never specifically realized before. The language of that sentence, what we call the Great Commission, this commission that Jesus gives his followers, the language of the Great Commission actually has a specific way, an explicit way, of making clear what the main point is. It's a pretty long sentence. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded. It's a pretty long sentence. But my professor showed me that there is an intentional way of making the most important part of the sentence clear. And so he showed me that the center of it all, the most important point, the thing you're not ever supposed to miss, the center of Jesus' Great Commission is make disciples of all nations. The heart of the final commission that Jesus gives to his followers is make disciples of all nations. Everything else around it in that sentence is there to help explain how to do it, but the specific focus, the point of Jesus' commission to his followers, to his church, is make disciples of all nations. This is Christ's standing order for his church, make disciples of all nations. Here at Holy Cross, we use slightly different words, but to the same basic point in our mission statement that everything we do is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ, to make disciples of all nations. And so it will do us good to think carefully about what Jesus commissions his church to do. This is so important that, of course, we talk about it and preach it in various ways throughout the year, but we actually set aside a specific day to make sure we focus on this at least once a year called World Mission Sunday, because this is the call of Jesus to his church, to make disciples of all nations. This is what he tells us we are supposed to be about. Now, a disciple is a learner or a follower. And in the ancient world, a disciple wasn't just sort of an ordinary student, but it carried with it the idea of a student who learned to be just like the master, just like their teacher. Jesus' disciples are those who followed him so closely that they were becoming more and more like him, ever growing in relationship with him and becoming more like Jesus. And here, at the conclusion of Jesus' earthly ministry, Jesus commissions his disciples to go make more disciples, more followers of Jesus from all nations. Jesus tells his followers to go make more of what he has made of them. Make disciples of all nations. Now, Jesus does not give a step-by-step process by which we do that. He does not tell us to go to the local bookstore and buy a specific curriculum to use in making disciples. We have to do the work of identifying how to do that in different contexts, but we are given some general expectations and general aspects of what making disciples will entail. And here in this Great Commission, he gives us three. Three aspects of what we as the church, as his followers, have to do in order to make disciples of all nations, leading people to come to saving faith in Jesus and to become more and more like him. Jesus says that we are to make disciples by doing these three things, and so I want to focus on that this morning. So three things. First, we are commissioned by Jesus to make disciples of all nations by going. Jesus says in what we call the Great Commission, he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." In order to make disciples of all nations, Jesus tells his followers that we have to go, not sit and wait, not be nice if people happen to come to us, but go. From back in the beginning of the Bible, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned and committed mutiny against God, God came looking in the garden. All the way to the end of the Bible and everything in between. At the end of the Bible, when God's dwelling place comes to us in the heavenly city, God, throughout Scripture, God is always going out to us. God is the ultimate missionary going out to his people. And we, his followers, are then to be a going people, going out to make disciples wherever lost people are. One of the phrases we use a lot around here is that Holy Cross, together, we are to reach people who are near to us but far from Jesus. Reach people who are near to us but far from Jesus. And the way that we make sure that they are near to us is that we go to them where they are so that we can be near to them. Or as I have heard it said, if you want to catch fish, you have to go to where the fish are. As Christians, we must be those who go to where lost people are. Go to where people who need Jesus are that they might come to know him through us. Last week, one of you reminded me of this, and you were absolutely right. In our services, we typically call the opening the processional, and the closing the recessional, and that's fine. But properly understood, both are processionals. Both are leading us into something. We are led by the cross, representing Jesus. We're led by our Lord Jesus into worship. And then at the end of the service, it's not just the service is over, but we're actually being led by Jesus to something else. We're led out into the world by our Lord. We're led into worship and out following Jesus to do the mission in the world. That's why on our drive, on our way out, we have that sign reminding us each week that you are now entering the mission field. God is a going God, and we are to follow him and become a going people. Where can you go to be among those who are far from Jesus? Where can you go to intentionally be with those who don't know Jesus and don't have saving faith in him? you're not alone in this. We, the church, do this together. You don't have to do all of it yourself, but you don't have to necessarily be the primary teacher or preacher, or you don't have to feel confident that you are someone who could answer every possible question that someone might ask. But you are uniquely placed by God with the ability to go to certain people in Jesus' name. You are the one who could invite them here. You are the one who could invite them to your small group. You are the one who could invite them to an event where they could meet other Christians. Where can you go to be among those who are far from Jesus? So that's the first one. We're commissioned by Jesus to make disciples of all nations by going. Second, in this passage, we see that we are commissioned by Jesus to make disciples of all nations by baptizing. By baptizing. Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Baptism is the formal entrance into the people of God. We receive Jesus in faith and are baptized in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're joined with Jesus in his death and resurrection. That's Romans chapter 6. Our sins are forgiven and we are cleansed and we're adopted into God's family. And all of that is summed up in the call to baptize, to share the good news of Jesus with people so that they can come to put their trust and allegiance in Jesus and be baptized in his name. And we are commissioned by Jesus to make disciples of all nations, baptizing, leading people in the power of the Holy Spirit to put their faith in Jesus, be baptized and receive God's grace and commit to him as Lord and Savior. We have baptisms today, one in each service. We're putting into practice this commission. And so today, one adult and one child are committing to be Jesus' disciples, trusting in him, following him, obeying him, continually learning and growing to be more like him. And so as you experience the baptism today, listen to the call throughout that service. Listen to the call to learn, to be a disciple, to learn and to follow and to believe and to become more like Jesus. And let that encourage you to do the same. God has gone out and come to us. He calls us to receive him and become more like Jesus as his disciples being baptized in his name. So we are commissioned by Jesus to make disciples of all nations by baptizing. And third, in Jesus' commission, we see that we are commissioned by Jesus to make disciples of all nations by teaching. By teaching. Jesus says this, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." We are commissioned by Jesus to make disciples of all nations by teaching. Now, not all of us personally are teachers, but we, the people of God, are called to teach God's people to follow him well. Jesus says that part of making disciples is teaching people to put his commands into practice, observing the commands that he has given. Being a disciple of Jesus, part of what that means is the call to obey Jesus. Obedience is by no means all there is to following Jesus, but it's certainly part of it. We are not saved by doing well enough. We are not saved by obeying perfectly, but obedience to Jesus matters. Actually doing and not doing what he commands matters. One writer put it this way, said that the gospel of Jesus generates a lifestyle. How we live really matters. How we follow Jesus and put that into practice matters. Now, there is a constant temptation for us to do things the way that we want or the ways that we think are best. And being a Christian, being a disciple of Jesus, must necessarily involve obedience to Jesus and his ways, even when, and especially when, we might prefer to do it otherwise. Being a disciple is not just about acquiring knowledge, though that's important, but obedience to Jesus and his commands has to be the disciple's way. What God tells us to do, we must do. Often, we as Christians, we like the learning part, but maybe the doing or the not doing is a little bit less popular sometimes. One writer described the church in our country by saying, we are educated beyond our obedience. We learn more than we're willing to put into practice. But Jesus says that following him must involve obeying his commands and putting them into practice. So when followers of Jesus discover that they're doing something they shouldn't do, we don't explain it away and say that Jesus doesn't really care about that. No, we need to do the hard work of obedience. When people come to know Jesus and discover that what they've been doing in their past is not in line with God's commands, we need to change. So if our sexual practices are acceptable by the culture but are at odds with the commands of Jesus, we need to change and follow Jesus no matter what the cost. If our spending habits are not in line with God's commands to give generously and to tithe, then we need to change and follow Jesus. If our speech is gossipy and critical, then we need to change and obey Jesus in how we speak to and about others. It doesn't matter the area. Followers of Jesus are called and commanded to live out what Jesus tells his followers to do. We are not saved by doing that. We're saved by God's grace to us in Jesus, which we receive in faith. But as God's saved people, we are truly expected to obey his commands. As it has been said, obedience is not legalism. Obedience is a symptom of salvation. So as the church, we have a teaching ministry, so that we can know more, absolutely, and so that that knowledge can be lived out in obedience to Jesus. How are you being taught to know more and to be challenged to put more and more into practice? If you think that you don't need to learn more or don't need to put Jesus' teachings more fully into practice because you kind of pretty much already got all that, I will say you're either more holy than all of the saints of old, or perhaps you're missing something. So will you commit to being taught? Will you commit to being humble enough to learn how all of us, how we need to change and grow? So we are commissioned by Jesus to make disciples of all nations by teaching them to obey what Jesus commanded. Jesus, risen from the dead, has made salvation possible. And as his followers, we are to believe his gospel and grow more and more into his likeness. And we are commissioned by our Lord to join in his mission of making disciples of all nations. And we do that by going, by baptizing and teaching in his name and in his power. See, God has gone out to reach us. God has baptized us and welcomed us into his family. God has taught us and led us to follow him. So we join in God's mission in doing the same for the world. Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Amen.